Shalom. Welcome to another episode of Inspiration from Zion. I'm Jonathan Feldstein. I have the privilege of being your host, coming to you from the Judean Mountains here in Israel. I like to refer to it as the original Bible Belt. Inspiration from Zion is a program of the Genesis 123 Foundation, whose mission is to build bridges between Jews and Christians with Israel, in ways that are new, unique, and meaningful. I pray that you will find this all of those. Through this program, we're excited to connect you to people and stories in and relating to Israel to give you a window to look through, experiencing aspects of life here that you might not otherwise know about. We want this to be interactive, so please be in touch at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com and send along any questions about any topic anytime. Or you can follow and like Inspiration from Zion on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and always be in touch at genesis123.co. Stay tuned until the end, where we're going to share an exciting opportunity, and please feel free to share this with others who will also find it of interest. I realized in preparing for today's program that we're really, really, really long overdue. The first time I met Marzia Amirizadeh, first of all, I couldn't pronounce her name, so I've improved, and we become good friends. And we're going to talk about that and the partnership and the things that have grown out of that. But we would do a conversation about every 7 months, because what we're talking about today, and it's been much more than 7 months now, is important. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be having multiple different conversations about things relating to Iran and Iran and Israel and the Jewish people. And because we've become good friends, I think of this just as a regular conversation with a good friend, above and beyond the fact that she's an important voice and why I always want to have her on the program. So I didn't prepare a formal introduction, but let's see how I do. Since we're good friends, I think I should be able to know well enough. Marzi was born in Iran just before the Iranian Revolution, and in 1999 became a Christian. After exploring the faith in which she was born into as a Muslim, but never really embracing that and looking for truth. And I'm going to hopefully say it multiple times, at least more, once or twice more during the conversation. You have to get her books. You have to read her books. I've read both of them twice. I always come away inspired, and I always come away inspired from speaking with her and when I get to hear her speak. So her books will all available, and to connect with Marzi is marzisjourney.com, and the link for that will be in the show notes. Marzi was imprisoned as a result of becoming a Christian in Iran for what the Iranian regime says is apostasy, simply converting to another religion. And she spent 9 months in prison in Iran during 2009. Thank God she was released. Thank God she's now a proud American citizen and has done remarkable things, writing 2 books, getting 2 degrees, running for public office, and I'll throw into there our partnership as well, which I mean that truly. I can't say enough good things, and it's all sincere, that if you're a Christian listening to this, you have to have her come and speak in your church, because the last time we were together and we were speaking in tandem, I spoke and she spoke, I just sat there in awe. And we're going to actually come to that last church experience where you were speaking that night, Marzi, in Maryland. It's so good. I mean, we're in touch a lot now, by WhatsApp, by text, by email, but occasionally by Zoom, because we have a lot of business to do together. But it's really nice, and I apologize for the delay of having you back. I don't know how many months it's been, but it's been too many. And I'm really glad to have you back on Inspiration from Zion.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. It's a great honor again to be on your program and share more details about Iran. And I can't thank God enough for this amazing friendship and connecting us together. And I'm very grateful. Thank you so much for everything and giving me this platform again to share more.
Well, it's important. It's important for me. It's important for everybody. Last month, in fact, wow, how interesting. Today, we're recording on July. Wow, so interesting that we're doing this today, Marzi. We're recording this conversation on July 24th. It's exactly 1 month since the ceasefire was imposed between Israel and Iran. But we spent here 12 very sleepless, stressful days. It was remarkable what the Israeli intelligence and Mossad and Air Force were able to do during that period, but it was still very stressful here, and we didn't really know what was going on. You and I were in touch a great deal during that period. I want to jump to that in a little bit, but also just about a year ago, you were here for your second trip, which was in the course of the war that we're now almost 2 full years into. And we're going to talk about the third trip, which was last November, because that has to do with our program, Root and Branch. But we've been going through a war, and you're one of my friends who was most impacted by the Hamas massacre on October 7th. When I say one of my friends, I mean one of my Christian friends overseas. Even, in fact, I would elevate you above most of my Jewish friends. The impact was deep. And as much as I wasn't sleeping, I know you also weren't sleeping. And when you came here a year ago, it made it even more personal on a different level. Share a little bit about what your experiences were here a year ago, and why it's so personal for you that we're a country at war right now.
You know, Jonathan, you read both of my books, and I shared in details.
Twice.
Thank you so much. That's a great honor for me. And I shared lots of details in my book that, you know, especially my second book, A Love Journey with God, that from the beginning of my faith, walking with Jesus, he started communicating with me through my dreams and giving me lots of dreams, lots of visions. And usually for every big step or decision, it's him that through my dreams direct me. Maybe, you know, most people don't have that kind of relationship with God. Maybe some people even don't believe me. I don't care. This is my personal relationship with God. And from the beginning, he started to communicate that way to me. And it's very interesting that every big decision in my life starts with a dream that he gives me. And exactly for Israel, when I became a Christian, that was my desire always to visit the Holy Land, the land of my Savior, Jesus Christ. But when I was living in Iran, it was obvious that I could not travel to Israel. But even when I came to the United States, I always waited for God to give me the signal, to tell me when is the right time. And in 2016, I became a proud American citizen and I could travel to Israel. But still, I respected and I waited and I prayed that he tells me when is the right time. And again, it was very interesting. It started with a dream that I never had any dream about Jewish people. In that dream, it was 9 months before October 7th that he showed me what is going to happen. But at that time, when I had that dream that God showed me the slaughter of Israeli people, I had no idea what is going to happen. I didn't know the interpretation of my dream. But it was right after that dream that other signal, other confirmations he gave me. And I felt it's the right time to visit Israel. And I visited Israel and praise God. I didn't know that he's going to connect us and we became very great friends and partners right now. God has a bigger purpose. For me, it was okay, I'm going to visit the Holy Land, but I didn't know that God has a bigger purpose to take me there. And it was 9 months after that, as I mentioned, October 7th happened, which was horrible, that reminded me my dream and that God told me that what is going to happen. And one of the reasons, when I think about these things that happened and put the puzzles together, I see that God had a reason to take me at that specific time to Israel to be witness to the sufferings of Israeli people. Because when I was in my first trip to Israel, if you remember, your neighbors were killed by terrorists, by Palestinian terrorists. And another time we were driving, that another Jews was stabbed right in front of our car. And I was witness, you know, got the feeling of what's happening in the country. And you kindly took me to Yad Vashem. That was an amazing experience, you know, seeing all those witnesses that
Let me interrupt. For those who don't know, Yad Vashem is the National Holocaust Memorial Museum here.
Thank you so much for sharing that. You were with me, and you know that how much I was impacted by seeing all those witnesses that 6 million Jews were massacred by Nazis and Hitler, and I could hardly breathe, and I was just keep holding myself that you notice that not to cry, not to sit there and cry. And one of the reasons that I believe I could feel that much of those, you know, things that happened, it's because it's not even comparable to what's happening in Iran under this evil regime. But since I experienced some kind of traumas, being in prison for 9 months, being sentenced to death by hanging just because of my faith in Jesus, witnessing the brutality of the regime, not only in my life, in prison, in the life of many other innocent people, that's why I could feel it strongly that how much Jewish people suffered and because of anti-Semitism, because of hate toward them, and how much they were oppressed. And seeing all those witnesses in Yad Vashem was very touching and very emotional for me. So, and the next trip, it was after October 7th that you took me to all the communities that were massacred by...
Right, that was a year ago. That was already a year ago. The war was still very, very hot.
Yeah, and again, you know, seeing what happened to Israeli people, how these terrorists massacred people, destroyed their homes, and sitting with the family members of the hostages and people who were living in those communities, again, was so emotional for me that how much, you know, Israeli people are suffer because of, you know, the hate from terrorists and jihadist Islamist people against them. So that's why when I put these things together, I feel that God had a reason to give me that dream for the first time about Jewish people before my first trip to Israel, and then connecting me with you, and then witnessing all those brutalities, to use me to be a voice today for Israeli people, and to share with the world why it's important for us, especially as Christians, to be united and to stand with Israel.
Yeah. And the other thing that was, it was really nice when you were here last year to take you to places that you have never seen, and things that relating to Jesus and Christianity. And but it was even more than that. It was very personal for you, and you're a very warm and empathetic person. But it was during that trip that we went down to the communities in the Gaza border. You met some great people. You met the mayor and deputy mayor of Sderot, both of whose parents are Iranian, or one is half Iranian and one who's 100%. And we sat with that one guy from one of the communities who we had lunch together, and he was just, and you repeated often, but you connected with him. And the other thing, I know I wasn't there with you, but you also connected with the father of Hirsch Goldberg Polin, who was one of the hostages who was murdered, executed. And it's interesting to use that word with you, because you witnessed the executions of your friends and cellmates, and who was executed almost exactly a year ago, right after you were here and you met his father, and you had a sense of compassion that others don't and can't have because of the things, not just the things that you have been through in your life, but also where you come from, and realizing that the Islamic regime is really, as we've spoken about many times, the head of the octopus, the with all of its tentacles all over the world, creating problems, and especially for us. Thanks for sharing that. That's very personal. We're going to have a very personal conversation today.
I want to pause in the conversation for just a moment to invite you to join us in one of the really incredible programs that we do as part of the Genesis 123 Foundation. This year, we have been going out all throughout the Judean Mountains to show love to soldiers who are stationed keeping us safe from the threat of terrorism. It doesn't matter if we're in a burning heat wave or temperatures below freezing before the wind chill, they are out there guarding strategic points that have a high risk of terrorism. And thanks to the support of many people like you, we are pleased to bring them homemade hot soup in the cold of winter and cold drinks and sweet watermelon in the heat of summer. Any donation is meaningful and helps us to bless the soldiers. You can join us and donate at genesis123.co/blessasoldier. That's genesis123.co/blessasoldier. And when you do, you also have the opportunity to send along your own personal words of thanks and blessings to the soldiers guarding the land and protecting the people. Please join us.
Let's jump a year ahead. Last month, a month ago yesterday, we didn't know that there was going to be a ceasefire. A month ago today, excuse me, we didn't know that a ceasefire was going to be imposed. But let's talk about, what were your feelings while all this was happening? It was 3:00 in the morning here, which must have meant that it was about 8 p.m. your time. On Saturday, was it a Saturday? Thursday night was still your time. The 11th of June, it was already the 12th of June. It was already the 13th of June here. And Israel launched a massive attack on Iran, not on the people, on the regime, on the IRGC, on the nuclear sites. What were your feelings when that happened?
Honestly, I was very happy, and it wasn't, when I say I was happy, it's not like that I was happy that my people get killed, because we know that Israel never targeted civilians, and their target was nuclear facilities, the IRGC key leaders, and the military bases. And it's not just me that I was happy. Millions of Iranians became happy. Because of my people, I got happy that finally someone came to help them. Because for so many years, Iranians, since 1979, they were oppressed. And they tried to ask help from world leaders to support them to get rid of this evil regime. But unfortunately, their voices never been heard. And there at different times, when they came to the streets, started fighting for their freedoms, the regime arrested 100,000s of people. They executed a lot of people. They shoot at people in the streets, like in one protest, 2019, they shoot at people in the streets and killed 1,500 people in just 3 days of protest.
Wow.
So they executed hundreds of people in prisons. I was in prison and I was witness firsthand that how they this regime treat people when they show their objections to the regime. And it was 2009 during election fraud that led to another big protest. They called it Green Movement. And I was witness how many people got arrested, how many were tortured, raped in prison, and they executed many innocent people. And these are serious that it's not that they are joking when they say they will kill people. That's why, you know, maybe for Western people cannot understand it, how it's possible that a country to be struck by Israel and the people are happy. Because people were saying that in one protest that I mentioned earlier, the amount of people who were killed is much more higher than a few civilians that may get killed during that strike, you know, toward the Islamic Republic regime. So Iranians are happy that finally someone heard their voices and they are supporting them, because in 2009, for example, when people came to the streets, they called the name of President Obama in the streets. They asked him if you are standing with us for these evil people, but unfortunately he betrayed. And he not only supported Iranian people, but also right after all those massacres, he sent billions of dollars to the Islamic Republic regime.
So I want to interrupt. What were you hearing this time as the war? You said you were happy and encouraged because Iranian people were happy. What were you hearing from them? Were they out in the streets chanting go Trump or go Netanyahu?
No, they support, praise God, they support Israel. The majority of Iranians, millions of Iranians stand with Israel because they understood that we are fighting against the same enemies. That's why they support Israel. And the beginning of the war, those 12 days, because, you know, there was a warning, President Trump mentioned to leave the big cities. That's why people had to leave the cities. But the government, the regime, instead of helping people, they started suppressing people because their big fear is from Iranian people. And they started, for example, people could not get money from their bank account. They closed all the bank accounts. Only $2 to $3 every day. And they couldn't get gas for their cars, only 15 liters every day. They started mentioning that they need to change the definition of espionage and in judiciary system, and to arrest as many as people they can that may, you know, supported Israel or say something that
I didn't know that
they wanted to accuse people of spying for Israel. And some of the Ayatollahs mentioned that we need to repeat 1980s executions. In 1980s, they executed 30,000 Iranians. People can Google search it and read about it. So they wanted to create fear at the same time that Israel was striking and eliminating the IRGC terrorists in order to make sure that people do not raise up. Because as I mentioned, their bigger fear is from the Iranian people. So I also read the news that it's very interesting that Iranian people were saying that Israel cares more about this regime about us, because when
that Israel cares more about the Iranian people than the regime.
Than the regime. And the reason is that because after when the strike is started, there is no siren to warn people, for example, if they are close to those specific location to get away. And I read the news that there was a kindergarten that Israel, there were some key leaders close to that location. And Israel called that kindergarten and warned them, please take out the kids. Wow. And it's all over Iranian news. And they were saying that Israel protecting us, but the, and then after that, even though, you know, that was not a wise decision because, you know, they could, you know, cancel that plan to eliminate those key leaders. But in order to protect the kids, they called the kindergarten manager and said, please empty that place. And after they emptied and take out the kids, they strike that place. So there are many examples like this that Iranians are saying that they know that this regime doesn't care about them and they wanted to use them as human shield. Like Evin Prison, I can share about that because there are many lies.
I want to come to that. I want to come to Evin Prison.
Do you want me to continue?
No. I want to continue with this and then I want to come to Evin Prison in a moment.
Yeah, I read the news that the regime has started accusing Israel of war crime because of striking Evin Prison. But honestly, I can tell what exactly happened. Because when I was looking at the pictures and the strike, all those places that were strike were
Wait,
the
let
places...
me just let's also just make this more personal. Evin Prison is where you spent, if I'm not mistaken, all but 2 weeks of your imprisonment during that 9 month.
No.
Almost
9 months I was in Evin Prison.
The first 2 weeks you were in that other dungeon.
Yeah, that was another detention in different part. But most of my time in prison, I was in Evin Prison, and I'm very familiar with the geography of that location and where are the buildings. And when I read the news that the prison was a strike by Israel, I started checking the news because I was concerned about prisoners, but I knew that none of prisoners would get hurt because the building, the geography of that, the way that they build those buildings, prisoners are almost underground. And it's so far away from those places that Israel strike, for example, the door of Evin Prison, and it's a big distance between the prison cells toward the beginning of the prison. And all of those buildings, when I look at...
You mean the entrance of that big white...
The entrance, yes. Okay. And behind that, for a big distance, is all their buildings, their prison authorities' buildings, and Evin Prison and the ward of prisoners. And even 209, I checked those pictures. None of those pictures is related to the place that prisoners were held. But my only concern was that when I read that news, I know the nature of these people. And I was concerned that they intentionally kill some of the prisoners and in order to get rid of them, and just claim that it was as a result of Israel's strike, and in order to escape international, you know, pressure, like my case, that they can say, okay, they died in that strike. And that was very interesting. Just today, I read one of the prisoners shared in Iranian news that she was in prison, and she said the same thing, that prison authorities right after the strike wanted to bury some prisoners to use them as human shield in order to claim that these prisoners were killed because of Israel's strike. But honestly, I can tell none of prisoners were killed in that strike. It was all prison authorities, their buildings, their facilities, even in the clinic that they mentioned, they were civilians. They are lying because the doctors and everyone else who work there, they are related to the regime. For example, the doctors, as soon as they heard my friends and I, our charge is believing in Jesus, they refused to give us medication if they were ordinary citizens, right, or civilians. Right. Why they should treat us like that? with hate and refusing to give us medication. So all people who work in these facilities, they are all supporter of the regime.
Okay. You mentioned 209. And since I've read your books, I know about 209 well, but I want to be clear. 209 is where is the building or that you were taken to for interrogations, right? Now, you were blindfolded when you were taken to those places. It was in a separate building from where you were incarcerated. How do you know if you were blindfolded where the building is?
Okay, before they take us to 209, they don't blindfold us. They take us out of that ward, public ward, and we had to walk along this fence together with the guards. And when we receive to the entrance of 209, then they blindfold you in order for you not to see where they take you. But the outside building, I'm very familiar with all the buildings outside the ward of prisoners and outside 209, which is a lot of, solitary cells deep down in that building that even I checked those pictures, none of those places that prisoners were held was hit by those strikes.
Okay. So another reason everyone following to go to marziesjourney.com and get her books where you can read more about that. And even before, well, I got to know her after I met her. I read the books after I met her, but you get to know her very well also through the books. There aren't a lot of people, I suspect, who were imprisoned in Evin prison and not just lived to tell about it, especially from with a death sentence, but now are overseas and can speak freely. What, when you read, it was already several days into the 12-day war that Israel struck Evin prison. What was your feeling then when that happened? I mean, you were worried about the prisoners, but how did it impact you?
Only about prison?
No, when Israel struck Evin prison, this place that you had been incarcerated for 9 months.
As I mentioned, that made me very happy because I felt that they face justice because for so many years, you know, they torture people in that horrible place. There are many people who were executed. My best friend, Shirin Alamhuli, was executed. I was witness to execution of my cellmates. And it's not just me. I strongly believe that made many prisoners happy, too. And I, as I mentioned, my only concern that after reading the news was about how this regime is going to take advantage of this to kill more people. But I read some news that some prisoners managed to escape too. That was very happy. Yeah, they were walking in the streets and all over. And that was a great news that some people could manage. But as I said, still, you know, I don't know the whole news, what exactly happened to each one. But that was a great news to everyone.
Okay, good to know. I didn't know that. It's nice to know. You just said something in terms of the regime, and it's evil. It's the embodiment of evil. I don't know if there's a more evil regime anywhere in the world. What needs to happen? You know, the one thing that you and I spoke about, we were texting a lot during this period, both of us hoping, praying that the Supreme Leader would be one of the targets. And that, unfortunately, and I say that personally, didn't happen. I think I've done a lot of media interviews since the war began, and I always said, much of which I learned from you, Marzi, is that the head of the octopus needed to be cut off. And that includes IRGC. It includes the nuclear facilities, which threaten. And Israel had the right design to go after the missile launchers as well as the missiles. And the ultimate head, that they call him the Supreme Leader. I think it would have made a huge difference. And that didn't happen. What needs to happen? You shared with me the other day that there are, I think you said in the north, some new protests that are happening because of lack of electricity and water. But what's your sense of what might happen? You know, unfortunately, it didn't happen that in 12 days or 13 days or 14 days, the Iranian people were able to rise up and eliminate the Ayatollahs. What needs to happen?
Yeah, unfortunately, this didn't happen. It was very disappointing. I can't emphasize enough why it's important to take him out, to eliminate him and his four sons. It's not about that, you know, I was hurt living there and what they did to me, or it's just because I hate these people. I know this is necessary, and it must happen in order to raise hope in Iranian people. And I have the reason for that, because for so many years, Islamic Republic regime tried to resonate to Iranian people that he's kind of imam, he's successor of God on the earth, he's the leader of all Muslims in the world, and that's why they are resonating that there is no way that people can hurt him, to get rid of him. So for so many years, Iranian people try to, you know, fight for their freedoms, fight against this regime. But as I mentioned, every time they killed more people and they got frustrated, they lost their hope and they started believing that idol. They can't get rid of that idol because the supreme leader of Iran is not just one person. He's controlling everything. And it's not about the president, other people. He and true IRGC leaders, they are controlling the whole country. So that's the kind of idol there that they keep him. And if we wanted to get rid of this regime, we must get rid of him.
This year, you can join Christian leaders from around the world who are lining up to participate in Root and Branch, the newest hands-on, meaningful, and incredibly tangible way for Christians to make a personal connection to Israel, the Israeli people, and to be a blessing to the people and nation which is still suffering from the trauma of a horrific terrorist attack and war. Root and Branch offers unique comfort and a vision of peace with tangible material benefits to Israelis who have suffered the trauma of war, specifically in and around the Gaza border area. Root and Branch is a unique agricultural pilgrimage. You will harvest wild olive trees in communities along the Gaza border that were devastated by the October 7th, 2023 terrorist attack and massacre. In these communities and elsewhere, we will plant deep and lasting roots among Israelis of all backgrounds, making Root and Branch all the more innovative. Since the war began, more than $50 million in crops have been saved by volunteers. Root and Branch is the first such initiative to harvest olives. Proceeds from the olive oil that's being made will directly benefit these devastated communities, making Root and Branch a critical and significant project to bless Israel economically and spiritually in multiple ways. Root and Branch is a partnership between the Genesis 123 Foundation and NewPersia.org. For information, videos, and media about the experience, dates, pricing, and how you can register, please visit rootandbranchisrael.com.
And I also mentioned that it's better not to get rid of him, like the way that Israel eliminated Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of
Hezbollah. Yeah. Why is that?
And the reason is that because Iranian people must see with their own eyes that he finally paid the price for what he did. And for so many years, you know that there is a system of brainwashing in Iran from childhood that I can share a lot of details, how they brainwash children from a very young age, planting hate in the hearts and minds of children and destroying the true history, especially the true history between Jews and Persians. And we know this, the story of Esther in Bible, that Haman was another Persian who plotted slaughtering Jewish people and to annihilate all Jews who were living in Persia. But God, the God of Israel, helped Jewish people through Esther, and finally Haman paid the price and they executed him and kept his body for days in public to see this is the example of somebody that trying to do. So for me, it's important for Iranian people to see the elimination of this evil person. And that's why I can't emphasize enough that if we wanted to raise hope in Iranian, that because the fear paralyzed Iranian people for so many years, but praise God, the still people, are fighting, and it's not easy to fight with bare hands with such a cruel regime and savages. Recently, because of, as you mentioned, because of water shortage, and they cut electricity, water, and they announced it for 3 days in 18 provinces in Iran that they are going to cut water and electricity for people. And almost every day, people are sharing lots of films that for the entire day, most of the day, they don't have water, they don't have electricity. And imagine how this impacts the life of many people. And people are so tired of this regime. And that resulted, I was checking the news yesterday, I noticed that in some cities, the protests started in some northern cities of Iran, and some parts of Tehran, people finally are coming to the streets and they trying to, chanting against the regime. But also I see the news that they started arresting some people and brutally beaten them up. And I know that everybody knows, it's not just me, Iranians know that this regime is so brutal, they are so evil. And if it comes to killing half the population of Iran to stay in power, they will do that. They will not hesitate to do that. So right. Iranian people know that. That's why it's very important to eliminate that idol, the supreme leader of Iran, and to get rid of him.
But right now, he's still there. And unfortunately, I'm so disappointed. Because not just for the Iranian, of course, for the Iranian people, but I would give interviews during the period of the 12 days. I said, imagine that we live in a world that's a peaceful Iran, Iran from 1978, that wasn't a perfect country. No country's perfect, but it wasn't the world leader in sponsoring terror. And in order for that to happen, you need to eliminate the ruler. And I feel like, I wonder, are Iranians discouraged now? You told me that the protests have started just before the war started in June. There were other protests by truckers all over the country. I don't know if that's still happening. We're, by the time this program comes out, well, in September, we're coming on the anniversary of the murder of Mahsa Amini and the protests that went along with that. And there have been other protests, but none of them have risen to the point of the revolution that took place in 1979, where the Ayatollahs were able to come into power. With Iranians knowing that the regime won't hesitate to slaughter hundreds of thousands, how can that happen? How do you see that there could be an opportunity for their regime to actually fall?
Definitely Iranian people need support from outside, like the sanctions, putting sanctions on the regime. These things are helping and supporting people, because in 1979, when you look at the revolution in 1979, it happened through some people who got found their guns, and they had guns that fought against the king of Iran. And at that time, the king of Iran was not an evil person like these Ayatollahs. Right. And he was softened toward, how to defeat those people. That's why, it resulted to that revolution, that Iran was hijacked by these terrorists. So Iranian people, since 1979, they are at war. fighting against the most brutal people almost every day. It doesn't matter if there is protest or not protest. In different ways, they are showing their objection. But for getting rid of this evil regime, it's not like just is going to happen just by people come to the streets with bare hands, because they keep killing more people and creating more fear. But what I'm saying, by eliminating the supreme leader, that will raise hope in majority of Iranian people to say, okay, finally we got rid of him, and more people to come to the streets, because, you know, majority of people have so much fear and they prefer, you know, they don't want their children to be killed in that horrible ways that they shoot at the eyes of many women, blind them, throw acid in the face of women, shoot at people in the streets. They rape lots of women in prison. They executed thousands of people in prisons. So this is a scary. I totally understand. I live there. I know what kind of people they are. That's why I'm saying that what Israel is doing, the Mossad are doing inside the country, is great, is helping Iranian people to be able to do more. Like, you know, I was reading the news that there are many, numerous incidents that fire is happening different parts of the countries, the specific locations that belong to the regime, like, you know, military bases and Basij, that is a groups of people that are very loyal.
It is a militia.
Yeah, they are very loyal to the supreme leader. They are getting killed. They are, you know, little by little, I know that Iranians also are cooperating with Mossad inside the country. Oh. We need that. Iranian people need that kind of help from those who have the tools, who have some, you know, military weapons to help them to get rid of these people. For getting rid of these evil people, it doesn't going to happen just with bare hands.
Okay.
And what Israel is doing, and that's made Iranian people happy that finally they are helping them. And hopefully this will lead in future. I think this is going to happen after the elimination of the supreme leader. And this is going to lead to a big protest that millions of people finally come to the streets and get rid of these people.
Let me ask you a question, because right now there's not a particular operation that we know of for someone proactively outside eliminating the supreme leader. But we know he's old, and we know he's not well, and we know that his sons are in line, one or all of them, to be successor. And he I think established that he was going to go into hiding. But he said, if something happens to him, his sons will succeed him. That's all very lovely. But what happens if he just dies of natural causes or disease? Will that be a trigger enough for Iranian people to rise up?
Maybe. But I hope that this doesn't happen that way, and he paid the price, and people can see justice finally. Because, you know, Iranian people suffered because of this person so much.
Yeah.
And the best way is exactly the story of Esther, that he should be like an example, that finally he paid the price and God's justice came for him against him. But I don't know exactly what will happen, but I strongly believe that we are witnessing a prophecy right now, God's justice against these evil people. And it's based on Bible promise in Jeremiah 49 that I always mention.
Yes.
That verse that God tells that after destroying the kings and rulers of Elam, which is a city in west of Iran, he will set his throne there. And it's not just based on that verse, based on my personal experience.
Right.
And also what God told me
right
in prison through one of my dreams, that he is giving them a chance to repent, but if not, he will destroy them all.
Right.
And what I see that this is God's justice toward these evil people through countries like Iran, like Israel, like America, that God is using the leaders of these countries and the soldiers of these countries to bring his justice against these people.
Okay, thanks, Marzi. We're running out of time in a sense, and I want to begin to wrap up. This month, you had a really fabulous article that was published in the Jerusalem Post and republished as an expanded version in other places. And essentially, you were writing, let's remember to put in the show notes the link to that, and so people can read what you wrote. But it came out of me and the Genesis 123 Foundation doing a barbecue for Israeli pilots just a few weeks ago. And we weren't, because of the nature of the Air Force base, we weren't allowed to bring in our phones or take pictures or videos or anything. It was remarkable. I so wish you could have been there. You would have hugged every one of them. It was remarkable. But because I invited our donors to help pay for it, I said anyone who donates more than $50, then you could send a note of thanks, a prayer, a blessing, words of encouragement. And we printed a beautiful 24-page booklet. Did you get yours yet? Did it come in the mail?
Yes, I received it. Thank you so much for sending one copy.
And based on your last trip here, I knew it was important for you to have a message in there. And you wrote something beautiful. And that became an article where you essentially were thanking the pilots. Do you want to expand on that at all briefly?
Yeah, first of all, I would like to thank you for giving me that great honor to be part of that and to share my heart with the soldiers. And if you remember, through our project Root and Branch last year, also I had that opportunity to meet a lot of soldiers, to pray for them, to talk for them, and to share my heart with them. That's the truth, that for so many years, the Iranian regime tried to destroy this beautiful history that Jews and Persians have together, that Persian kings like King Cyrus, Darius, they always supported Jewish people and stood with them. But they try to, what this regime tries to do, to create hate in the hearts and minds of people. And I always, like many Iranians, feel ashamed that why these evil people living in my birth country, in my country, and why, you know, they are keep shooting their missiles toward innocent people in Israel and keep saying that Israel should be annihilated and Jewish people should be exterminated, those kind of things that really break the hearts of people like me. And I feel I need to apologize on behalf of my people because of these evil people in my country that created such a animosity between our countries. We could have a great relationship, great friendship with Jewish people. Because we had from the beginning, we had a great history together. Instead of, you know, having tourism from Israel to Iran, from Iran to Israel, to help our economy, to help in different levels, why from Iran should, you know, these missiles keep shooting toward Israel? Why the leaders, the evil leaders of Iran, should always mention, say, death to Israel and encourage people to why we should annihilate the state of Israel, why Jewish people should be died. So these are things that really breaks my heart as someone who was born here in Iran. And I feel ashamed that majority of Iranians are very kind people. They are hospitable. They would like to have relationship with not only Israeli people, with all foreigners. They don't have any hate toward any other nations. Why they should create a very ugly picture of these great people who have a kind heart toward everyone, very hospitable. I always say to foreigners, if you go to Iran after the fall of this regime, you can see that how much Iranian people will argue with each other over who is going to host you at their homes. And they will show different kinds of hospitality toward those people. And that breaks my heart, that why these evil people should be represent a beautiful country, beautiful people of Iran. And that's why I feel ashamed, and I feel I need to apologize for that.
A different direction, and then we're going to go one question, go toward our root and branch program, which you mentioned. You are a conservative, you're a Republican, you've run for office in a blue district, which was a difficult thing to the beginning. And recently, maybe because of the war that's going on here, and maybe particularly because of the 12-day war in June, you've been confronted with the reality a lot of other conservative Republicans who have been saying, it's not our war, it's not our business. We have America First as their title, and as then, and what do you say to them? Why, you're an American, and you speak, of course, about the country of your birth, and you're a Persian, and you love your culture and the people and the land that you came from, but you're also a really proud American. What do you say to fellow American conservatives who are saying, nah, it's not our business, we're fighting Israel's war, they're leading us into something?
Jonathan, since I came to the United States, God knows, I promised to myself and to him that, especially when I became an American citizen, to defend this country, because America is my home and I really love this country, love people. And I have friends here that are closer than my family members to me. And most of my great, good experiences is in America rather than in my birth country. True. So I feel responsible, and I strongly believe God had a purpose to take me to America to share this message at this specific, at this such a time with people about persecution, about the threat of Islam and this evil regime who send their agents to America and other Western countries to infiltrate in our system, to destroy America within, and to give wrong advice to our leaders. I never stop to share, to talk, to write, because I know the evil nature of these people. I know who they are. I know they are liars, and they are master of spreading lies and propagandas, which really make me very concerned about what's happening in America. And recently, as you mentioned, I noticed even among conservative, I hear such a thing. We need to wake up, and we need to be vigilant that these are tricky ways to create hate against Israel and to not support Israel. Like, you know, as you mentioned, America First. I am an American. I strongly believe that each country should put their benefits, the benefits of their people, above everything else. And that makes sense to me, that we need to protect our country, to stand up for our country. But again, that's a trick when they say America First, so we should not support Israel. Israel is our ally, our best friend. And Israel, we should thank them that they are fighting against our enemy, fighting against the enemies of Americans that have already are in this country. And after October 7th, we can see that all over America, Western countries, lots of groups raised up, and they started destroying the country, destroying the great values of the country, brainwashing young people. And this is so scary. And even I see that this kind of thoughts is moving even in some churches. This is another big alarm to us as Christians that why we should stand together, why we should be united, especially during this time. And I always say, when we say America first, if you don't put destroying its enemies first too, so what's the point of that?
Friends, Israel's at war, and the war may get worse before it gets better. Much worse. It's going to be a long war because the enemy is the epitome of evil. It's not just a matter of overcoming troops on a battlefield, but overcoming a theology, an ideology, an evil one. While the Genesis 123 Foundation has been overwhelmed with the support of so many donations to the Israel Emergency Campaign, there's so much more that needs to be done. We've invested your donations that we've received so far strategically to make the biggest impact possible, whether helping with soldiers and their equipment and personal needs, to providing civilian security for outlying border communities, to relocating and settling several families from near the Gaza war zone, launching the global petition drive to support Israel in the face of pressure for a ceasefire, and long-term needs for at-risk children, traumatized now more than ever before. Please take a moment to pause this conversation right now and go to love.genesis123.co and donate generously. We value your trust, and we will keep all donors informed about how and where your donations are being used to contribute to make the biggest impact possible. And when you use that link, love.genesis123.co, you can also send your prayers and words of encouragement to Israelis of all backgrounds. Just sending your love, something that we need so desperately. Thank you, and God bless you and your loved ones.
They are here. Their first agenda is to destroy our country, to brainwash people, to destroy our politics. So that doesn't make sense to me when they say that since this is a policy, America first, we should close the doors, not to support Israel. And this is just a war in the Middle East. This is not a war in Middle East. This is a war against the enemy of American people as well. And we must thank Israel, because it's IDF soldiers who are fighting in the front line and sacrificing their lives. So it makes me very concerned everywhere I go. For example, I can quickly share with you one story that happened a few days ago, which made me so concerned, so upset that what's happening in my country, in America. I went to a store, but the night before I go, I had a dream again. And God always show me things through dreams. In my dream, I saw a big bull that was so angry. And I was standing beside him, and he was hitting his head toward the wall. And I could see very clear the color of his eyes. And he was so mad at me and wanted to attack me, but he couldn't. And he was just, I could see that how much he had so much anger. He was black, bull, and was just rubbing his head to the wall nonstop while I was very close to him. And when I woke up, I didn't know what's the meaning of that dream. And then I went out, I just prayed, God, whatever is that, protect me. And then I went to a store, and a guy that I knew from the past, I was doing some shopping there, and we opened the conversation, and then he started asking questions, and he reminded me my story, remembered my story, and the conversation goes toward Israel. And suddenly he became so aggressive, and we had to leave, we came out of the store. And exactly, it was the same dream, that it was behind the same wall. At that time, I didn't notice. And I was just talking to him and why I support Israel. And he was so mad at me that why I support Israel. And even though I was explaining to him about Islam, this is true Islam, I grew up with it. And he was not accepting, and he was telling, no, this is not Islam, this is not the regime, and he was comparing Ayatollahs with the leaders of the United States and Israel, all of them are the same. And I said, oh my goodness, that someone that lived in the United States, never lived under such an evil regime, not knowing the evil nature of these people, and just keep teaching me because he read some books and about what is true Islam, who are these people. And I finally, after 1 hour, argument, discussion, he was so mad. And I felt, no, I can't change his mind. And he was just so much brainwashed. And I wanted to say that how dare someone like you, that your whole your life, you lived in the United States, you have no idea what it's like living in Middle Eastern countries, and especially a country like Iran and Islam, and teaching me that for 33 years, I grew up with those kind of teachings. I read Quran. I know what is true Islam, teaching me that I am wrong. And I said, I can't continue this. You are so brainwashed. So there are, and later when I was driving home, I remembered that dream, and it was exactly the same wall, exactly the color of his eyes. And I could see all his chest was so red. Honestly, he could attack me because of, you know, I was supporting Israel. And I, you know, this is just one example. I read a lot of news about, you know, young people, how they were brainwashed and how these Islamist jihad is using them as idiots. Yeah. And they have no idea that what they are supporting, what they are saying. And even some of them, like this example, don't want even to listen to people like me that know these kind of people and just judging us and getting mad at people like me. And it was so frustrating. That's why I'm just keep warning Americans that especially the church need to wake up. Christians need to be vigilant, because there is another deception that I keep reading in the church, that they try to say Israel today is not Israel in Bible.
So I want to come to
this
that.
Is very dangerous deception that is happening. That's why I just keep emphasizing we need to be united and talk more and to be bold to talk about this, that why it's important to be united at this time.
All the more important, I always say, how important your voice is, but in America, as an American, as a conservative, because honestly, you didn't say it in exactly these words, but you can nod in agreement if you agree. The people who are America first, who say it's not a threat to America, shouldn't be involved, are in fact threatening America, because they are deceiving or have been deceived. Let's talk about root and branch. We're going to do two more topics and then wrap it up. Root and branch, your remarkable vision. Between your first trip and your second trip, you had a vision to bring Christians to pick olives. And we had already created a good working relationship together by then, and mutual respect. And you shared that with me. And then the war started. So things kind of dropped. But then after a few months into the war, and the war is still going on, we picked it up. And last summer when you were here in 24, that was a field trip to scout out and figure out how we can do it and where we can do it. And last November, we had a remarkable experience bringing 18 Christians from America and a couple of volunteers who spent a day with us from other parts of the world as well. And we picked 1,000 kilos of olives, and we made about 80 liters of oil, and shortly we're going to have beautiful bottles of anointing oil to sell, with the oil, the proceeds coming back to those communities in the Gaza border that we picked the olives in. And we did that, I think every day we did it, we probably heard shelling or shooting. We were that close to the Gaza border, And it was a remarkable experience on so many levels. And I always tell people when I'm doing interviews and when we've had our meetings, it's really one of the top 10, maybe 5 best things that I've had the privilege of working with. Also because it's you, but the whole idea. And so I don't forget, now we're having our first Root and Branch conference in Atlanta, September 5th and 6th. Anyone who wants more information about this program, which is a partnership between us as friends and your nonprofit, newpersia.org and Genesis 123 Foundation, can go to, where are we? rootandbranchisrael.com for all of the information. Obviously, the vision was a great one, and the implementation was really special. Without going into the whole nature of the program, we'll send a link to our recruitment videos and other things. Why is this so important, Marzi? Why is this program to bring Christians to pick olives, like the trees that you see behind me right now?
You know, Jonathan, I mentioned earlier that all major decisions and steps in my life start with a dream that God always give me a dream or a vision to do something. Like, you know, when I was in Iran, I didn't know how to give the message of salvation to my people, to share the truth about Jesus with them. And it started with another vision that God gave me, to distribute Bibles, which me and my friend distributed 20,000 Bibles in Iran. And there are many other examples that I can share, that each time he tells me where to go, what to do, how to do. For example, for Israel, I shared that dream, started with a dream, and then I visited Israel, but still I didn't have any idea why at this time. And but later, now I can see a bigger picture that God knew what is the right time to take me to Israel, because he wanted me not only to support verbally in writing, but also in action to do something. And that, you know, vision at the beginning, you know, that it was a small, and still I didn't think about it that broadly. And as far as we go, move forward, you see that it's expand, and God gives me more details about this, that how to expand this and to bring more support to Israel. The purpose is not you and me or my vision or what we are doing. There's a bigger purpose in this project that God gave me that vision, and praise God that he knew, and that's why he connected you and me, a person, someone who was born in Iran, with a Jew, together to put this project together. And that's the power of this project, because, you know, our countries fighting against each other, and the Islamic Republic regime always, you know, promote hate toward Israel. And that's the great example of me as someone who was born in Iran, and you as a Jew, to stand together and to show not only to the world, but to Iranian people, that this should be the future of Iran. Mm-hmm. And also the greater purpose is to bring and unite Jews and Christians, because I am a Christian too, and Israel is my spiritual home. And what happened after October 7th, it really broke my heart. The brutality, the level of brutalities that Israeli people experience. So I am a person that if I wanted to show my love to someone, it's not just by verbally saying. I believe love should be in action, and we need to prove it in action. That's why I think God gave us this idea together to work on that, to show it in action, that we wanted to support Israeli people. And I understand last year that we started, you know, people had fear because of the shooting and because of the war. And I totally understand people's, you know, concern. But for me, it's always different when God tells me to do something. I have no fear. Yeah. It doesn't matter what's happening in Israel, but I strongly believe that this is the right time. This is the best time. If Christians wanted to show their love to Israeli people, to their Jewish brothers and sisters, now is the right time. It's not to wait until the war is end and then, okay, we will go and visit Israel. We need to show Israeli people that we support them in action, to stand with them. And you know that last year had a great impact on Jewish communities and people that we met, right. And all of them were so shocked that, you know, couldn't believe that at this time we are with them, standing with them, to support them, to support their communities, to hopefully to, after we get the profit, to support more communities right. that were devastated by Hamas terrorists. And I always share that example that when I was sitting with one of the Jews in Israel after October 7th, when I asked that question, how we can support you, he said, through love, we need love. And that, you know, was amazing when he said that word. And I was thinking about that, how we can show our love. It's not just I sit at my home and say, I love you, I support you, while Israeli people are suffering and they are going through lots of traumas. The war affected their life, their economies. Many people lost their jobs. So this is the best time for us as Christians that through this project, amazing project, that we can be there and support Israeli people.
The funny thing about this, thank you for all of that. It's such a remarkable program. And I don't even feel like I have the words to explain how, because it is not, last year was and this year will be, such an incredible experience on every level. We heard the sounds of the missiles. We heard the sounds of the olives falling down. We felt the rain. We felt the wind. We tasted the oil after that Shabbat we spent together. We had that Shabbat experience. So many things. So I'm glad that we're doing this now, because there's still time for people to register and join us. The dates are October 19th to 28th. And all the details are at rootandbranchisrael.com. And I want you to join us, everyone who's following this. And I want you to bring somebody, because I promise that this will be an absolutely remarkable experience. And I think the last thing, and also join us if you're in or near Atlanta on the 5th and 6th of September for our precursor to that. But I'm going to talk about Cindy, who was one of the participants who was in Israel for the very first time. Normally what I wouldn't think of this as a first time trip. You would think of it as something for people who have been here much more frequently. But Cindy had a remarkable time, an unbelievable experience, and I think is planning on joining us again this year. And that's a big indication of success. The Stewarts are planning on coming back, and Eric is planning on coming back, and Cindy, and I don't know about the others, but yeah, anything you want to say, one final word about that, Marzi, why people should join us now?
And that's what's remarkable about this project, is not that our project, as I mentioned, I always say a vision is come true. It's when all people stand together and united. And what is remarkable about this, that most of people that last year joined us really wanted to come back and join again. And everyone told us, you remember that how much they appreciate this program, that they could do something in action to show their support, to show their love to Israeli people. And even Cindy, that you mentioned, that was her first trip to Israel. And she told me that she was glad that she didn't go like with other tours, just visiting, you know, biblical sites. And still, you know, even though she couldn't visit all those places, but she said she was very grateful that through this project, she could experience something different and do something that to show her love as a Christian to Israeli people. That's why I invite Christians, those who truly support Israel and wanted to stand with Israel. Root and Branch will give you a great opportunity not only to bless Israel, to bless Israeli people, Jewish people, to be connected with them. It's not just go and picking olives. It's a lot of experience that you will not experience through any other tours in Israel. That's a very different program that gives you a lot of platforms and a lot of opportunities to be connected with the land, to be connected with Jewish people. And I invite everyone to join us, and we will have a blessing time together to celebrate together.
You're right. On October 7th, 2023, Israel and the Jewish people suffered a massacre and calamity of unprecedented proportion, the largest number of Jews killed in one day since the Holocaust. That this is even something that we even measure is harrowing. Since then, the Jewish people have never felt more alone, in Israel and around the world. It brings us back to when 6 million of us were murdered in the Holocaust, and few rose to protect us. However, those who did, the righteous among the nations, can never be forgotten. They serve as a beacon of light for us today and for future generations. Footsteps was born in the wake of this most recent calamity to give you the opportunity to walk in the footsteps of the righteous among the nations, the righteous Gentiles. Footsteps is a boutique travel experience with a personal touch. You will experience stories of the righteous among the nations, their descendants, of the Jews they saved, and the generations that came from them. Through this, you'll be inspired to follow in their footsteps to inspire new generations of righteous among the nations, especially today when so much of the world is embracing overt anti-Semitism. In a generation where standing up for Israel and the Jewish people is no longer something to be taken for granted, stories of the righteous among the nations call out to us, inspire us, and are models for today and for our next generations. Please join us and get more information at genesis123.co.
You just set up the last thing I want to talk with you about very beautifully. And you mentioned being in Yad Vashem that first time we were here. It's funny. I don't know why I thought to take you there that day. We had some time to kill between your interviews, and we went there. And I did notice how difficult it was for you. And I realized after I kept trying to talk to you to explain things that I needed to back off and give you your time. But one of the first things that day that impacted you at the very beginning of the exhibit, because it's a memorial, but it's the history, the timeline of what happened leading up to the Holocaust and during the Holocaust itself. I can picture exactly. I mean, I took a picture of it where you were, and I didn't realize how significant that was, is where you were standing in front of the section where you understood for the first time that the Holocaust and anti-Semitism in general was not birthed in the church, but had deep roots in Christianity, in your faith. And you were crying then.
That really broke my heart, because that was the first time. I appreciate you that you remind me that was the first time I heard, because I didn't know about that history, right. That unfortunately churches didn't support, stand with Jewish people. And as a Christian, that was a pain for me to hear that.
Right. But there's another thing that I'm going to tie it into. And I told you I was going to do this. This is not a surprise. There's another thing that connects you and us to Yad Vashem, which is when you're walking into the building and then you come out and walk around the grounds, there are trees. Many of them are olive trees that are planted in memory of their, I think, almost 27,000 people who have been designated by Yad Vashem as a righteous Gentile, non-Jews, mostly Christians, who risked their lives or lost their lives to protect Jews. They didn't get any financial compensation. They knew that if they were caught, they would be executed. And they did it anyway. And earlier this year, because of the war that we're in, because of the hatred of Jews and Israel that's become so public, I decided that we need to do a program from the Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation recognizing modern righteous Gentiles, people who put their lives or their livelihoods at risk for standing with Israel and the Jewish people. And Marzi, you do that. I've seen it. I know it in your heart. I know that the story you just shared, somebody you confronted and spent an hour with trying to explain why Israel's important. When we were together speaking at the Maryland National Day of Prayer, I don't want to go into specifics as to where it was because I don't want to embarrass anybody there. But you were confronted in private for working with a Jew. Don't you know that he's a Jew? Me, meaning me. And you've confronted that theologically with other Christians. You've confronted it politically with other Republicans. And for me, and it's because you're my dear friend, it's really emotional to, of all of the things that I've heaped praises on you for, how many years do we know each other? 2.5 years. It feels like all of our lifetime. This to me is one of the most significant because it goes to the very core of who you are, the love you exhibit, your faith, which I always tell people inspires me as well as your story. So I'm going to let you respond to that. But I checked before we began recording this conversation. There were about 27,000 righteous Gentiles from the whole world. And it's shocking in all of Europe that there weren't more, that there couldn't have been more. There were none from Iran. So I think today you become the first Iranian modern righteous Gentile. And I'm honored. It may mean nothing because it's just coming from a guy named Jonathan sitting in a bunch of olive trees in Israel. But I think it's significant that you be held up as an example for others. What are your thoughts?
First of all, it's a great honor for me that you are saying that. And I feel that this is my responsibility as a Christian to stand with my Jewish brothers and sisters. And as you mentioned that experience at the church, I see, among, unfortunately, some Christians, there are some wrong teachings that some people may judge me because of working with a Jew, and they think that since I'm Christians, I should definitely work with the Christians. Why a Jew? I heard this a lot, and that breaks my heart. And because I feel that they don't have correct understanding of Bible and Jesus. And especially when they say that, it was Jews who killed Jesus, which is a total wrong teachings, because Jesus himself in the Bible, there are verses that he says that no one is able to take away my life. It's me that have the authority to put my life. And he had a reason to do that. And it was our sins that took him on the cross. No other people, no other nations, we can't blame and say you killed Jesus. He had a purpose to do that. And when people, Christians, say such a thing, and I understand that they don't have a correct understanding of who Jesus was and why he came. So me as a Christian, I'm very grateful that you give me that title. It's a great honor, but to me, it's a responsibility. And no matter how people judge me, no matter how many people are disagree with me, I'm not a historian about Bible. I don't have that kind of level of knowledge, but all my understanding and knowledge comes through my personal relationship with Jesus, that he talks to me and he tells me things. And like, you know, one of those examples, like in 2016, it was God who showed President Trump in my dream. In 2020, he showed me about the teaching and he showed me to support him. And since then, I only supported him. And I knew that he has a reason to bring him to power, even though some Christians started again, you know, judging him because of, you know, his behavior, this, that. I said, it's your understanding of God is very small, because God's way and thinking is so much different with us. That's why, again, I wanted to say that I feel responsible no matter what happened to me, how many people judge me or even wanted to, like that angry guy, you know, to say things against me or threats against me. I don't care about any of these things. All I care, what God told me to do, to stand with Israel and support Israel. And as long as I'm alive, I'm going to do that. As a Christian, this should be the responsibility of every Christian and all churches to be united with Israel.
You know, you always inspire me. And that means a lot. And what you just said just highlights every single reason why it's right that you are one of these people. And that's why it's important for me to, not just because we're friends, but that we magnify your voice. So I thank you. Marzi, it's been more than 7 months since the last one. Maybe we will, we're going to do a podcast together here, or maybe when I'm in Atlanta, or who knows. It won't be the last. As always, really, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Your friendship, your partnership, everything, and for being who you are.
Thank you so much for your friendship, for being such an amazing person. And as I said, I can't thank God enough for you and this friendship and this partnership. And I'm sure God is going to do amazing things through both of us, through this project and other things that he's showing us.
Okay.
God bless you.
And you, Marzi. So as we wrap up, you know, I always do this. And now I'm going to make a double offer. First of all, everyone visit marzisjourney.com and marzisministrynewpersia.org. As we've always done for years now, at the end of every program, we just want to encourage people to like and share and comment on the link to this. These are important conversations, and this one today, especially so. And it went really long because it was that good. And I want to encourage you to like and share and comment on the link to this program, and to do so by giving you an incentive. We call it From Jonathan's Bookshelf. And every month we pick one person at random who's liked or copied or shared the link to this program, and you get a book from Jonathan's Bookshelf. And now for almost 2 years, we've been promoting our own book, Israel the Miracle, that happens to have many, many pictures of olive trees in it, because that's indigenous and it's important in the notion of the book. And we pick one person at random to receive a copy of that book. This month, I'm going to offer a double offer on my expense. We're also going to offer a copy of each of Marzi's books that I'm going to pay for, and I'm going to offer to somebody who likes or comments or shares the link to this program. So please do. We're always grateful that this program is sponsored by our friends at the Willow Run Greenhouse in Culpeper, Virginia. I always tell people, if you're ever in the area, pop in and thank them for helping make conversations like this possible. And also special thanks to the Coyne family as well for their meaningful sponsorship. Genesis 123 Foundation and all of its programs are made possible by donations. So please consider continuing to donate so we can continue to build bridges between Jews and Christians. Episode, I have the privilege of sponsoring, in honor of our dear friends, Marzi, the people who introduced us, Arlene and Paul Samuels, to thank them, but also in prayer that by the time this episode is out and people are listening, Paul will have a complete and speedy recovery to what he's going through right now. If you'd like to sponsor an episode in honor or memory of a loved one or special occasion, please be in touch at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com. We always love to hear your comments as part of a dialogue and invite you to send any questions as well, especially questions about traditional Judaism for our Ask the Rabbi programs. Please share this with others who will also find it of interest. And please continue to join us right here as we bring you more meaningful conversations relating to Israel that you won't hear anywhere else. Wherever you are in the world, I send you my blessings and prayers that you're all safe and healthy right here from the Judean Mountains. God bless you. Hallelujah.